Listen to Alan for breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, Alan here, and welcome to the catch up. Big show today. Had a chat with Shane Hope, breaking down the AFL Grand Finals. Also, Mark Seymour from Hunters and Collectors. His big band, Mark Seymour and the Undertow, are heading to Perth, October. I had a chat to him all about that. Also, politics as well. Speaking of politics, put a little song together to kind of sum up what went down in Canberra last week. Felicity Sun joined me as well. The Southwest Cougar had a chat with me. Why does he call me? I have no idea why he called me. Also, Daniel Leach had a breakdown of everything in sports and the local footy. And we talked about the bailing up medieval carnival. Enjoy the catch-up. Shane Hope from the West Australian. Good morning, mate.
Morning, Alan. I'm literally driving past the Punt Road Oval right now. So there's going to be a bit of action next door at the Triple MCG come Thursday night. Really looking forward to it. It's a great time to be in Melbourne.
Absolutely. Thursday night game's a bit weird. I understand Victorians aren't too happy about it.
They are absolutely up in arms because poor old Richmond and Hawthorn have to play on a Thursday night. They reckon it's a bit hard on a school night and a bit hard for fans in the country as well from country areas. Now, I'd like to ask your listeners, how many of them travelled for the Eagles-Bulldogs game a couple of years ago on a Thursday night? And how many did the same for Crows-GWS last year? So, the Victorian fans, it's funny how it's only become an issue now that Richmond and Hawthorn have to do it. But
yeah.
I guess everyone looks after their own backyard in this footy business. But geez, mate, it's a very Victorian-centric situation over here, that's for sure.
I don't get it. Like, I mean, Thursday night footy, like, don't get me wrong, during the home and away season it's fine. But finals, really? We can't squeeze these all into one weekend?
Well, a lot of people think that you could do Friday, double Saturday and a Sunday, but yeah. The reason the AFL has actually done this is because of the bye. So they want to bring footy a little bit closer, so they play the Thursday night. And then also, looking ahead to the next week, they don't want anyone coming off six-day breaks. So they really want everyone to have at least 7 days, which Collingwood or West Coast playing on that Saturday night, or Sydney and GWS, they will have that as well going into the next Saturday. So that's the reasoning, and I think the broadcasters probably have a bit to say about it as well, because there'll be a massive TV audience on the Thursday night, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is the first one, Richmond-Hawthorn. Hopefully Hawks can get up. Friday night footy, we're going to see Melbourne taking on Geelong, that one at the Triple MCG as well.
How's your sneaky little hopefully the Hawks can get up there? That's a very sneaky little insert from you, but Melbourne and Geelong, that'll be a ripper. They've had two games this year decided by very, very late kicks at goal. So the Ds, I think they've only won one of their last 12 or something like that against Geelong. So a horrible record, but they're a much better side. They finally put to bed that bogey of not beating top eight sides, so beating GWS pretty comfortably on the weekend. So this one will be an absolute belter, and you'll get another big crowd there, no doubt about it whatsoever. So really looking forward to that one too.
Absolutely. Then Sydney taking on Greater Western Sydney. You couldn't write it any better.
I know. The fixtures have just really worked out so well, haven't they? So a big derby there. Derby, as they say in Sydney. You'll probably sell out the SCG. Probably better that it is there as well, rather than in previous years they've played finals out at Homebush. So that's long gone. Thank God, because it's a nightmare for most Swans fans to get out there from their homes in the eastern suburbs and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it should be a great setting on Saturday. But the time is right, I think, for a guy like Buddy Franklin to step up and really grab a game by the throat and win it for the Swans. But the Giants, aside from last week, they've been in pretty good nick despite all their injuries as well. Should be a cracking game.
Absolutely. And the game that we all care about over here, West Coast Collingwood Optus Stadium. Oh, this is going to be massive.
Bring it on. Do you reckon it's too much to ask for a repeat of that 2007 final when it went to extra time and the Pies got it done right at the end? Or,
well, I like the extra time part.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, this should be a belter, and you'll get a massive crowd again. This will sell out at Optus Stadium. Collingwood's got a great following there, so it won't be completely one-sided as it might be in most Eagles games, but they obviously have the experience of playing Fremantle there last week, so they would have suffed it out and just make their trip a little bit smoother as well. So it should be another great game. The Eagles, in decent form, thought they were a bit scrappy against Brisbane, but they got the job done, locked in that top two spot, which could be all important for them, given they can now play two finals. They may not have to leave Perth until grand final week, and wouldn't that be great for the Eagles?
Yeah, absolutely. Who do we like to win the flag? Is Richmond still the heavy favourite?
Yeah, absolutely. You can't go past the Tigers at the moment. They'll play at the MCG. They'll be favourites in that first final against the Hawks. They haven't lost at the G for 20-odd games. So There's no doubt they're the favourites, and they have fewer injuries than most of the other teams as well. So many teams are continuing to stand up despite losing such key players, and you only have to look as far as not only GWS but West Coast as well without your Kennedys and Natanui. Kennedy may come back. Adam Simpson was pretty bullish on that last night. They've obviously lost Gaff to that suspension as well. So I think the Eagles are a sneaky chance as well, as are a lot of those sides up around there, Collingwood and Hawthorn obviously playing in Melbourne. So I think anyone can win it, but you can't go past Richmond as your favourite at this stage.
Absolutely. Shane, thanks for the chat today, mate. Mark Seymour and the Undertow have been touring right around the country, and they're going to be doing another one as they head to Astor Theatre in October. I have them on the line. Good morning, mate. How are you?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, mate. I've got to say, I'm looking at this tour, mate. Four dates over 5 weeks. This is pretty cool, but I've got to ask, are you doing anything between the dates? Because that seems like a pretty cruisy tour to me.
Yeah, it is pretty cruisy. I'd like it to be busier than it is, but the shows are quite long. They're really long shows. So actually, there's kind of no limit. You know, we got up to close to 3 hours last time, but on some of the nights,
really 3 hours. No, obviously, no one's sitting there with a stopwatch.
Didn't quite get to that. we got to that point. We actually were timing them.
Oh, wow.
How long they would go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Who's the first to bail?
I wouldn't want to give them away. Yeah, there's one guy in the group who kind of gets, oh, come on, you know.
But it's not you.
Not very often, though. No, it's, well, I'm the culprit. I keep wanting to keep going, you know. Like, anyway.
Now, I love this. I was reading the press release on this tour, and I love this line. Mark Seymour and his tight-as-a-fist band, The Undertow. Tight-as-a-fist, that's a pretty cool description.
I don't know who writes this stuff, mate. I certainly don't. No, there's just all sorts of stuff on the Facebook there, you know. I don't know. It wasn't me. And I actually don't think we're that tight at all. I think it's sort of, I mean, we're it's a four piece. Well, actually, we're going to add keyboards. By the way, we're going to have another bloke coming in, and he's going to be playing some other instruments. So it'll be different than the last. And the set will be different. There'll be some newer songs. I'm actually writing an album. It's like Pulling Teeth in itself. And there'll be new songs in there as well. Not many, like two or three maybe.
Yeah, okay.
So, not sure. I sort of nutting that out at the moment.
Writing music at the moment with the current political environment and all the stuff that's just been going on recently, does it make it easier or harder?
That's a really good question. I just can't believe what's happening. I think the whole country, I mean, the Australians are just watching what's playing, you know, being played out at the moment and just gobsmacked by it.
Yeah.
It's just, mate, I mean, I'm a student of politics. I love it. It's like watching football, you know, but this is just, I would not have thought that we would get to this. I just had no imagination, even a week ago. And like watching the way the story's changed over the last 5 days, like just watching how the news cycle's fed on it. You know, I think that's actually a really critical issue for a songwriter. Just, you know, how much do you feel the need to keep track of the news cycle? Because it's so volatile now. I mean, regardless of what we've just witnessed in the last few days, just the general sort of flow of information that comes to you on social media, it's just you're constantly bombarded with information and there's no end to it, you know. So I tend to try more now is to find a quiet space. And it's really interesting doing really old songs like that I haven't played. And, you know, there's quite a few in this show that go right back to the 80s, but doing them very, you know, completely different way, like making them really bluesy and so quite intimate. That's kind of given me a really fresh, it's freshened up my perspective on the whole journey that I've been on as a musician. And it really makes the contemporary landscape look quite odd. I mean, but again, you know, as I said, I am immersed in writing, so it's always a strange and mysterious process. So, you know, we'll just see how it all plays out.
Yeah, 100%. Really looking forward to it. Saturday, October 27th at Astor Theatre. I hope you break your record. Maybe squeeze a couple of the newer ones into it. And let's go for the past the 3 hour point. It's your first one out of the 4 date tour. So, you know, you could do it.
Mate, look, it's just great playing in that room as well. It sounds incredible. You know, we do a really long sound check. We make sure it's absolutely hanging.
Excellent, mate. Well, thank you so much for the chat today. I do appreciate it. And I'm sure that you'll be watching very carefully what's going on in Canberra much as the rest of the country will. Thanks for the chat, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Mark Seymour there. Of course, you can catch Mark Seymour and the Undertow happening 27th of October at Astor Theatre. And it was a massive, massive week in Canberra just last week. It got me inspired, actually, everything that did transpire, to the point where I actually wrote a bit of a song to recap it for you. A lot of stuff went down in Canberra. Ooh, the Libs are heading for a blue. Yeah, Liz Bill started to trend. Turnbull getting a sweat. Big Mel, they're coming for you. Jeez. It ain't Bishop, it ain't Dutton. Libs need a new PM, son. It ain't Abbott, it ain't Turnbull, it's Scott Morrison, yeah.
Yeah, Scott Morrison getting the big job. He's already announced his cabinet. Hopefully for the Libs' sake, this helps them out, but we'll have to wait and see when we go to the polls.
With your weekend sports roundup, it's Out of Bounds on the Southwest's Triple M.
Yes, Out of Bounds. Mr. Daniel Leach joins me now. Hello, sir.
You don't know how disappointed we are that you haven't dressed up in your frock this afternoon and this morning.
I honestly thought
that you would.
You thought this was a permanent thing.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, and I love the fact that you've used a smug look.
Look at it. It's right in front of me, the photo.
Oh, nothing's changed. Coming out vicious today. I apologise for that.
I like it. You're fired up. That's because it was a big weekend of sport. No, I look smug there, but it was kind of like I was watching Ethan get killed at this point, and then I saw the camera and I kind of looked over, and that's me about to do a pose, but they've gone, and so it looks smug, but I look like a giant grimace.
I did hear that. I thought that was quite funny, but that's pretty spot on. Just looks like you, so good on you. Round 18, final round of the Southwest Football League. Done and dusted. The top five sides did end up winning in the end. The big winners, though, were the Eton Boomers because they've earned themselves a double chance with a big 50-point win over the Harvey Bulls. They knew that they needed only a small win in the end against the Harvey Bulls because South Bunbury's win on Saturday night was not that big. So the Eton Boomers, they just went the tonk. Bunbury went the tonk as well. They beat the Collie Eagles by 113 points.
Wow.
That is a big signal, I dare say, leading into the finals. So here is how the first week of the finals worked. Donnybrook have the bye. They've got themselves straight into the second semi-final. Qualifying final will be at Payne Park, 2:30 p.m. on Sunday. Bunbury versus the Eton Boomers. That game will be live on Triple M from 2 p.m.
I love it.
The elimination final will be at Hansover between South Bunbury and Augusta Margaret River. So the loser of the elimination final is out. The winner of the elimination final goes on to play the loser of the qualifying final, while the winner of the qualifying final goes on to take Donnybrook on in the second week of the finals. There's a big map that's out there.
And it sounds like, you know, like when you see like the detective trying to get the clues and they got all the red string everywhere. It looks like, I reckon that's what your office looks like right now.
Eventually it points back to Alan Aldworth's place. First week of the finals in the Lower Southwest Football League, the first semi-final, the Manjimup Tigers just were incredible. They beat Bridgetown by 123 points.
Wow.
Now, Bridgetown aren't that bad a side. But Matt Shaw came out and kicked 7 goals in the contest, 6-1 by quarter time. Halftime, Bridgetown only kicked 2 behinds in the second quarter. And an amazing 9-3 final quarter from the Tigers. They are going to be a really, really fun side to watch during this final series. Second semi-final is on next weekend between Dean Mill and Imperials. In terms of AFL, the West Coast Eagles, they've locked in a top 2 spot. They had to do what they had to do yesterday. It was not the most convincing of wins against Brisbane, but they got the job done.
Brisbane's a decent side now.
They are quite a good side, and they're developing well, and I think that they could maybe just knock on the door of the finals next year.
I agree.
In terms of how the finals is set up, Thursday, September 6th, first qualifying final, Richmond and Hawthorn at the Triple MCG. Friday, September 7th, first elimination final, Melbourne versus Geelong at the Triple MCG. Saturday, big doubleheader, Sydney and GWS at the SCG, followed by West Coast and Collingwood at Optus Stadium, the game at 6:10 for the second qualifying final. So keep that in mind if you're an Eagles fan. Should make mention the Dockers, good performance from them on the weekend. Yeah. Just couldn't get the job done against Collingwood.
I thought they had it at one point.
They did a very good job. And, yeah. You know, they at least gave it a red-hot crack. The Tigers, by the way, they have dominated the All-Australian squad. The 40-man squad has been released today. Richmond have got...
Not much of a look-in from West Coast or...
Let's have a look. West Coast, there's a couple.
Must have just
haven't
come out.
Had a big chance to have a look at it just yet. Andrew Gaff, Shannon Hearn, Jeremy McGovern, Elliot Yeo in the squad.
There you go.
I'd say Jeremy McGovern should get in there. Shannon Hearn, maybe. Elliot Yeo, I'd say yes. Andrew Gaff, that'll be a fascinating one if he gets selected.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mate, and also, just to wrap it up, netball as well. You were at the netball yesterday.
Oh, devastating for the West Coast Fever. They were outstanding all season. Lost by 3. The most incredible atmosphere I've heard inside Perth Arena, I must say. That was brilliant. But well done to the Sunshine Coast Lightning, but that was intense stuff.
Absolutely. And also well done as well to the crowd. 13,000 plus. So
yeah,
well done.
13,700 odd.
Thank you very much,
Lee.
Thank
you, Grimace.
I hate you. I've got on the line, oh, I don't know why this guy calls me, the Southwest Cougar. Hello, how are ya?
Oh, yes, hello, even. How are you, Alan?
Yeah, I've been pretty busy, mate, to be honest. I've been all last week, all Alan Adventures. I was exploring the Grimarga River, Greenbushes and Bunbury.
Yes, you've been so busy, all over the Southwest, even.
Yes, I've been pretty busy.
All Alan Adventures, that's right. Yeah, terrible name.
What do you mean, terrible name?
No judgment.
What do you mean? No, it's a parody from Russell Coit's All Aussie Adventures to All Alan Adventures.
I'm just curious what sparked up the little reason to go on a little adventure, maybe even a hunt, even.
Mate, I was just literally wanting to explore the beautiful region that we live in, the Southwest, all right?
You weren't looking for anyone in particular, were you, Alan?
No.
Not even, perchance, a certain cougar, a certain Southwest cougar. Were you looking for me, Alan? Did you find me?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't looking for you, the Southwest cougar.
I saw you, Alan. You were so busy. I saw you around Bunbury at the wildlife park. I mean, I wasn't in it. You'll never capture me. A cage isn't big enough, even. And then I saw you around Margaret River. You were eating chocolate. I think you need to quit those ones, Alan, if you're witnessing the fitnessing, am I right?
Yeah, I haven't even put video of that up yet. How are you looking at seeing that foot? How are you seeing that footage? I don't want to know. I really don't want to know.
Of course, you're in Greenbushes, another palmy.
What is going on? Why were you following me around Greenbushes? Why?
Well, it's like the old phrase, isn't it? The hunted becomes the hunter. Am I right?
That's not the phrase. That's not even close. That is not the phrase at all. What can I do for you? Why are you calling me?
No, I just called a chat, see how you're doing.
Southwest Cougar, I'm very busy.
Okay, Alan. Well, good luck with witness for the fitness or whatever it's called. Okay? Swap out the palmies for salaries, all right?
All right.
You're doing it, buddy.
Yeah, okay.
See
ya.
You're even. Bye.
Bye, the Southwest Cougar there. Still hasn't been found. Oh, can someone please find him and lock him away? He is so annoying. Anyway, Bailing Up Medieval Carnival was over the weekend. It was great to give away passes all last week, family passes. So hopefully all our competition winners enjoyed it as much as we did. Renee was there and I was there as well as Ethan, who we nominated to become my champion. He went through a whole lot of challenges just last week, but prior to it, including a bit of archery and lighting a fire and all sorts of stuff. I got to be honest, I don't think any of it really prepared him for what was a pretty fun day. He did a bit of training when we first got in there, the Grey Company. Massive thank you to them for all the hard work they put in to getting him ready for battle. It was really cool. It was, you know, it was a kind of a bit of a stage fight, but in saying that, like, there was people getting legit, like, hit hard. So I could see that Ethan was pretty nervous, especially when they did their first show and they had all their metal weapons just smashing. You'd hear the ching and the tang and all that sort of stuff. And it was absolutely crazy. Ethan would end up going into battle. And he did okay for the first part. He was doing all right until right at the end when they decided about seven guys to surround him
and beat them up, basically. You can see the full footage of it up on our Facebook page at Triple M Southwest. We'll do a bit of a mashup video as well. Put that up later on tonight. Also, there's a photo as well of me. I got right into the spirit of it all by wearing a costume. It's like a big, massive purple tunic with like this gold thing on me, and I had a king's crown, but I kind of just look like a royal version of Grimace from McDonald's. So thank you for no one that's commented that, but I'm very much aware of that's exactly what I look like in this photo. And I weirdly look smug. I think the sun was in my eye or something, but I look smug. It's a weird photo. You can see it all on our socials at Triple M Southwest, our Instagram and our Facebook as well. But well done. Well done to Ethan. He definitely made us all proud and survived. So good to him. Good for him.
This is your Week in the Stars with Felicity Sun.
I got Felicity Sun on the line. Good morning, Felicity.
Good morning, Alan.
Now let's take a look in the stars.
Here's your star guide. Virgo, don't listen to your voicemails this week. Libra, mentioning your birthday will make people think you're annoying. Scorpio, walking may get you places. Sagittarius, look for another job. Capricorn, you will find pepper spicy this week. Your significant other or crush will not find it impressive. Aquarius, writing out all documents in landscape instead of portrait will bring you luck and your co-workers confusion. Pisces, if you eat something and no one sees you eating it this week, it has no calories. Aries, if you eat something this week and no one sees you eating it, it has double the calories. Taurus, you are aware of your own name this week. Gemini, there's electricity in your home. Cancer, do not listen to your voicemails this week. And Leo, documents with writing will be in your life this week, and this is a sign of good luck. That's your star guide.
Yeah, excellent. Well, Felicity Sun, thank you very much. Any idea of a sneak peek into how you think the West Coast Eagles are going to go in the final series?
Well, I've got full faith, Alan, in a disappointing result.
No, that's not what people want to hear. Thank you very much, Felicity.
No worries.